Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everyone. This is Melissa Biliardi, your host, and this is your Help for HD News channel. Tonight, our call-in numbers are 310-982-4227 and 877-497-4103. Please tell all your colleagues, family, and friends about Help for HD News channel and click follow on our show page to get email reminders of upcoming news. You may also listen to the show right from your iPhones and Androids. 19,400 listeners now. Thank you for your amazing listening. And welcome to Help for HD News Channel. Dr. Nolte, how are you tonight?
I'm great, thank you. It's a pleasure to be back on again.
It's great to have you back on, my goodness. And we have some very exciting news for our HDers tonight. Can you tell us about your CIRM rating?
So it's not completely final yet. The vote will be this Thursday, but we had submitted a grant to fund a proposed phase one clinical trial for Huntington's using adult stem cells, and we were ranked number one in the state and recommended for funding by our state stem cell funding agency, CIRM, or California Institute for Regenerative Medicine. So we just couldn't be more thrilled, and we're so glad that we didn't let the community down.
Oh, well, tell us a little bit about CIRM, too, because some of our listeners may not know who CIRM is.
Yeah, so CIRM is a wonderful agency. They were voted in by the voters of California through Proposition 71, and there was an allocation of $3 billion to really kickstart stem cell research in California. So it funds both embryonic and adult stem cell research. This particular planned therapy will be adult stem cells expanded from the bone marrow of normal healthy donors. These are called mesenchymal stem cells, and they're our favorite type of cell. It's a cell type with which I've worked for the past 25 years, I hate to admit it. But we also call them the paramedic cells because they're very good at delivering factors to injured tissues. And the therapy that we are hoping to develop through this potential funding would deliver a factor called brain-derived neurotrophic factor into the brains of Huntington's patients. And this is a very important factor because it plummets to really negligible levels in advanced Huntington's disease, the decline starting in early to mid-HD. And this needed growth factor for neurons in particular declines because the mutant Huntington protein, which is really the culprit in this disease, it stops this factor from being made in the brain. And so we are delivering it back into the brain through the proposed therapy, also in some animal models that we're doing, and with our wonderful colleague, Dr. Gary Dunbar, who has shown that this delivery of this factor by mesenchymal stem cells can make Huntington's animals almost back to wild type. It's almost as if they don't even have Huntington's disease. And so we're very excited to develop the clinical trial that would bring this, phase one clinical trial that would bring this to patients to test for safety. But of course, we'll be looking for efficacy.
Right. Now, this particular therapy is for Huntington's disease, but aren't there other stem cell therapies being done now, clinical trials for other neurodegenerative disorders?
There are some different types of stem cells, and of course in Huntington's disease there are fetal striatal neurons that have been transplanted, and that's been going on for years. I think the problem is that the environment in the brain, and they have had some efficacy. Our collaborator on this grant, and Catherine Bashud-Levy, has done a lot of these in France. And these healthy striatal neurons are being transplanted back into the brain and doing pretty well. But again, they lack this growth factor that could keep them alive. So we're hoping in the future we could maybe combine the two therapies, but that's, you know, farther down the road.
Mm-hmm.
We could deliver the growth factor that's needed to keep these alive and also deliver new healthy neurons at the same time. But for now, we're trying to rescue the striatal neurons in the brain that are at risk of failing to thrive due to the lack of this growth factor that they need.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the mesenchymal stem cells and the brain-derived neurotrophic factors.
Mm-hmm.
I know these are kind of new new words for some of us. And,
yes.
I want to thank James Falvano for putting together a very comprehensive, in layman's terms, page on his website. If you go to wehaveaface.org, and Dr. Nolte has endorsed this information. If you go to wehaveaface.org and then go to understanding or brain, it'll explain. But give us a kind of a little rundown on BDNF and what exactly is that, and how can we, you know, aside from the clinical trial that's going to be taking place soon, how can we preserve some of the BDNF at the present time?
Sure. So this is it's a growth factor for neurons and a survival factor, and it helps them. You know how neurons, maybe not everybody knows, but neurons actually need to reach out and communicate with each other. And they send out axons, and then they have a synapse where they touch other neurons, and that's the way the signal is transmitted throughout the brain. It's kind of like a mesh of Christmas lights, and if one patch goes out, you know, you can lose, you know, intensity in that area. Yeah, so this growth factor helps the neurons maintain those connections, and they have very long axons that can reach out and connect with one another, it just keeps them overall healthy and robust. And as I'd mentioned, in Huntington's disease, it plummets to very low levels, and there's been beautiful work done on this by Elena Cattaneo in Milan, and we really looked a lot to her work and expertise and her colleague, Dr. Zuccotto. I was lucky enough to visit them a couple of years ago in Milan and learned a lot and was very inspired by their work as well. So we are using these mesenchymal stem cells, which are really safe stem cells. So they come from the bone marrow of a normal qualified donor. We'll find a young, healthy, robust donor who has no viruses, no diseases, no mad cow disease. There's a huge list of qualifications that they have to pass. And we get an aspirate of the bone marrow, and we grow out this particular type of cell, and they expand very well in culture. Excuse me. In what we call cell factories, which is kind of cute, and these are multi-layered flasks that we put in the incubator. And my close colleague, Dr. Gerhard Bauer, who runs our good manufacturing practice facility here at UC Davis, and I have been working with this type of cell for many years and expanding them in the GMP facility for many years. And one thing that's very cool about these cells is that they naturally make factors to deliver to other cells, but we can engineer them to make even more of a certain factor.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this case, we are doing engineering upon them to make more of this brain-derived neurotrophic factor and then to deliver it to the neurons in the brain. And we need to do another round of the safety testing of this in non-human primates with our outstanding California National Primate Research Center here at UC Davis. And then we'll apply to the FDA to hopefully approve this so that we can go into phase one clinical trials. We've been doing extensive safety testing and additional efficacy testing on this, which the FDA certainly requires before a phase one trial could happen.
Great. Okay, so now we're excited about the voting at CIRM.
Yes.
It's not completely final yet.
Yes.
But you were rated number one, so, you know, chances are you're going to get the money. So then what's going to happen next? What does that mean for the clinical trial timeline?
Yeah, I've learned to not put a timeline on things because we're hoping we'd be in the clinical trials by now, but it does take funding. And, I just want to mention that we would never be this far along if not for seed funding. That this has really been a grassroots effort. The seed funding that the community has given us, when we started out, we had no funding for Huntington's research. No National Institutes of Health funding, nothing. I was working in a different area. And I work in this, first of all, due to my wonderful colleague, Dr. Vicki Wheelock, who runs our Center of Excellence here, and mostly just due to wonderful patient advocates like you and James and our amazing Judy Roberson, who's here in Northern California. Just really got drawn into the community with all my heart. So that's why our lab is working on this. And we had no funding in it. We were using the mesenchymal stem cells, as I'd mentioned, for many years to deliver factors for other diseases. And we needed to start, doing the safety testing in the primates and doing different rodent models, and had no seed funding in the community. The patient advocates really rallied and donated to us, $10, everything helps. Wonderful walks like Marissa Gutierrez organized in Illinois, and then the Shalimar Foundation donated to us, $15,000, which makes a huge difference. Team KJ sponsored some of the primates. There's just no way that we would all be at this point in time without patient advocates, and I just feel like we're all on the same team here, and this really has been a grassroots effort. I just can't thank everybody enough. And
teamwork.
Yeah, absolutely.
We definitely have a vested interest.
yeah. Last thing I ever wanted to do was take money from the community, but it was necessary to get to this point, and now we're here, and now we can do something that's really, meaningful.
And speaking of that, if our listeners go to endhd.org, we can donate directly to that project, to Dr. Nolte's project. 100% of your donation goes to Dr. Nolte's project. I know there's a little administrative percent taken on the university side for processing, but if you donate, to the project through NHD.org, we take no administrative fee on our end. So every bit of that money goes over to UC Davis. And thanks to Deshalma.org, that's Clarice Miller, Dion, Lieutenant, they've put that program together for you. And
yes, thank you so much.
And, yeah, so we're really happy about that. But
We do appreciate it. We're still working on the delivery of the RNA inhibition and some other things that we and others are working on in the lab. So, we so appreciate it. But meanwhile, we'll be moving forward as fully as possible with this proposed current trial for the BDNF delivery, and that sets up all of the infrastructure, all of the precedent and the safety for using these mesenchymal stem cells to deliver other factors such as RNA inhibition.
Right. Okay, so now this clinical trial is going to be a phase one?
Yes, it will be phase one safety. It is the first time that anyone's done anything like this, so we're kind of out on
pioneers.
The edge. But
pioneers. So explain
yes,
to
pioneers,
our listeners.
That's a good word, yes.
Explain to our listeners what that means, phase one for safety, and then what's going to happen during phase one? What will take place?
Yeah, so it's all still planned, and it's absolutely dependent on approval by the Food and Drug Administration. And we will work very closely with them. We have been working with them to make sure that everything is safe. the last thing that we would ever want to do would be to deliver a therapy that might have any chance, any possibility of hurting anyone, especially those who I love so much in this community. Mm-hmm. So hence all the non-human primate safety testing and all of the banks and banks of rodents that we've been doing. So there are three phases to clinical trials. Phase one is the first step along the pipeline. It's a limited number of patients, 20 or so, and it's really looking for safety, but of course we'll be looking for every efficacy endpoint that we can, volumetric imaging of the brain, motor skills, behavior, psychosocial, everything that we can do that the patients normally do when they come into clinic. Gait analysis with the videotaping, everything we can possibly do to see if we're seeing any possible improvement. In the volumetric imaging by MRI of the brain is the main quantitative measurement, but really looking for biosafety first, just is it well tolerated? Mm-hmm. And this is what's called an inducible expression, so we can turn it on by the patient taking a doxycycline tablet. It's just a like a little antibiotic, mm-hmm. and it turns the expression on, and then we can turn it off if there was too much or we saw anything bad happening, just immediately turn it off. So that's phase one, looking at biosafety. Phase two, we would then go on to a placebo-controlled group. Mm-hmm. And the good news is that what we're planning is that the placebo control is just the mesenchymal stem cells, but not making the BDNF. Mm-hmm. And they have been shown by many labs to have a significant improvement just by themselves on Huntington's mm-hmm. disease. And we've written reviews on that, as have others. So that would be, the placebo in our hands. Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't know, no one associated with the trial would know what the patients are getting. They would either get the mesenchymal stem cells or those making this growth factor. And we have what's called a contract research organization, a CRO, that handles all the data, and they would be mm-hmm. the only ones who knew what the patients would get. And then it goes on to a larger phase three clinical trial. You really need, angel investors, VCs, or a company to come on board for that, because that can be a couple of hundred patients, and that's beyond even, what CIRM can help us do. But the good news is after that, it gets to be a drug, and mesenchymal stem cells themselves, without this genetic engineering, this gene modification, have just been approved as a drug that can be prescribed in Canada and in New Zealand by their FDAs. So they have that strong a safety profile for different indications, not for Huntington's disease. But that means that these cells can be administered and that doctors can now write a prescription for a bag of these mesenchymal stem cells to be administered to patients who have certain diseases.
Okay, so
they've been all the way through the phase three clinical trials for those indications.
Okay.
And that's certainly where we'd love to get. But this is just the phase one.
Okay.
We're just primarily looking for safety.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm excited.
primarily looking for safety. And I think what's important to the design of this trial, and this was our PI's brilliant idea, was to have the patients doing a observational trial for 12 months before they would get the cell therapy, if the cell therapy is approved, so that we can get each person's own baseline. Because, the disease can be quite variable and people have different symptoms, and that will let us know if that person's doing better after they get the cell therapy.
Good idea.
Just personally, are they doing better? Yeah.
Is that kind of a typical thing for clinical trials to get an observational baseline?
For Huntington's disease, there have been observational trials, and we've learned so much about the disease. And I think for this, it's really important because it's not the type of it's not just a clearly plotted course like you might expect for some diseases. It can be really different from person to person,
mm-hmm.
and so for us to have any hope of seeing, if the cells really are making a difference, we think it's really important. And the reviewers of the grant did agree with that. And interestingly, the reviewers asked us to do more patients than we'd initially planned, which just really touched my heart because whoever the reviewer is, they really get it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So then you're going to start out with more than what you'd originally planned?
Well, we'll see. We, you know, we're the observational trial, that's up to our local institutional biosafety committee, IRB, and we're currently completing the paperwork for that. So we meet as a team every Thursday evening, and we've been working on that. It's mountains of paperwork, but it's certainly worth it. So we'll turn that in as soon as possible. And,
so exciting.
Hopefully get approval on that. So, you know, until we have these regulatory approvals, I can't say anything for sure, but that's our plan, and that's what we'll get the funding for. And I'm just so excited. You know, our patient advocates and also our wonderful dean, Claire Pomeroy, everybody's believed in us and invested in us. And now CIRM's giving us this amazing opportunity to really go forward into the trial. And we're just so grateful and thankful to CIRM and to everyone on this team, all of us.
That is just amazing. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, CIRM. Thank you, Claire.
Yeah, thank you, CIRM.
Okay.
You're an incredible organization.
Yeah. And I'm so happy to have my producer, James Falvano, back on the show.
Yeah, James.
Now,
love
you have a
being
new
back.
Website?
Love being back.
Yeah. You have a new website, Jan?
Yes, UCDavisStemCell.org, all one word.
Okay. We're going to post that in.
Sometimes it's a little glitchy when you first go into it because it's brand new, but just hit the home and it goes there. Refreshed or something.
It's great.
Our wonderful analyst, Jane McClipsky, has been working really hard on that and gathering information from everybody on the team, because here at UC Davis we have 150 faculty members affiliated with the program. So it's been quite a ordeal getting all of it together.
That's exciting. Wow, you're just so busy, and I really appreciate you coming on the show to give us an update. We're so excited. Now, CIRM's meeting is on Thursday this week.
Yeah, and they do have an audio cast.
Yes, so if you go to the CIRM.ca.gov and go to Agenda 12-20-07-26, you'll be able to get the information on the audio cast. I'm going to try to see if I can get it plugged in live here on Blog Talk Radio, but I don't know. I'm going to try.
That is CIRM for those who don't know that little catchphrase.
CIRM.ca.gov /agenda_2012-07-26. And that's exciting stuff.
Yeah, and we'll have quite a few HD patient advocates there with us to thank CIRM along with us.
Wonderful. And I hope that once you've gotten your vote and you're underway with all of your arrangements, you'll come back on and give us another update.
Absolutely. Or maybe you can have our PI, Dr. Wheelock, next time. She's amazing.
I would love to. I've been asking her for, 2 years?
Yeah, I know. She's incredibly busy.
Very busy.
Yeah.
Right. What else? Is there anything else as far as the observational part of it that we need to know? How can we sign up?
Well, there will be a committee that looks at inclusion and exclusion criteria for everybody, and you don't necessarily have to be Dr. Wheelock's patients. There would be what we're proposing. You know, it's not approved yet, but what we're proposing is that there would be an initial visit and then 2 more visits 6 months apart with the MRI. So there's some compensation for travel, but not a lot, unfortunately. We're limited in, you know, what we can give people without it looking like we're trying to bribe people, I guess, to be in the trial. we can only kind of, you know, compensate for time away or gas money or something. It's
right,
just a little
right.
bit, but no. It's not enough incentive to be in the trial. But you know, helping understand this disease and potential, you know, benefit for you or loved ones is to me, I would certainly be in it. But yeah.
Now,
I shouldn't go too far out on a limb there.
Is this going to be open to non-California residents?
Yes, if they can travel and get here.
Okay.
For the certainly for the three visits altogether before the, you know, I can only talk about the observational trial right now because
right.
we're not through the FDA. The FDA does not need to approve the observational trial because it's what mm-hmm. we do in the clinic all of the time. But they certainly, you know, when the cell therapy trial will start is absolutely up to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can't say too much about that.
Mm-hmm, of course, right.
We're trying as hard as we can. And we'll be talking to them again very soon, we hope.
I'm sure you will, and you probably have more paperwork to do for them, too.
Yeah, a few more stacks, but that's okay. That's what we do around here.
Now, did you say that you have more work to do with non-human primates?
Yes, we need to show that we can actually turn the BDNF on in the brains of primates. We can do it in rodents, but we have to be able to give the appropriate dose to the primates and measure the level that's turned on. So we've proposed in the grant another set of 12 non-human primates that will be done under what's called good laboratory practice, which is very scrupulous record keeping that the FDA likes to see. And then we look at the response and of the neurons and the safety and toxicity, lack of toxicity of that. And so we've done this and show that everything's safe, but not with the induction with the drug, and that's the way that we would deliver it to the patients. So we'll be talking to the FDA very soon to make sure that's enough primates. You have to do 6 males, 6 females, and make sure everything's going to be okay. As planned, and then move forward into that, and that's the first thing that, if we get this CIRM funding, that would cover.
Okay. Now, speaking of delivery, how is this going to be delivered?
A good point. They do have to be implanted into the brain, into the striatum. It's a little tiny burr hole. The whole head doesn't have to be shaved. It's a very experienced team of neurorestorative surgeons that work here at UC Davis and at UC San Francisco that will be coming in to assist the team. So there is, through MRI, the striatum is visualized, and then they know exactly where to target. And it sounds, you know, scary, but they go into the brain all the time, and they say the brain is really forgiving. It's amazing, yeah. So a little injection, one on each side. No, they will stay just overnight and make sure everything's fine in the morning.
Well, I know they're doing a lot of things outpatient these days that, you know, in past
Maybe not this one.
Not
we
this
have
one,
other
though.
Trials that can be outpatient. Yeah.
They want to
observe. You know, you want to make sure everything's just fine.
That's good to know.
And that's part of the safety. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they do, you know, deep brain stimulator implantations on Parkinson's patients, which are much more invasive and the brain's much more open. But threading the wires down into deeply into the brain, and these are very routine for these teams. So,
mm-hmm. They're used to working with Parkinson's and other
movement disorders patients. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that the MSD is going to be, is classified as a drug now?
In Canada and New Zealand, yes.
Okay, now.
You can actually be prescribed bags of methylcobalamin stem cells, which
amazing.
I find really incredible, yeah. They've just been very safe in all clinical trials that have been done properly with, you know, FDA approval and all of the proper, you really need to, you know, qualify them and make sure that the product is what you think it is when you're done growing them up and make sure nothing else got in there, no bacteria or anything.
Right. Well, does that mean that maybe some drug companies will pick this up in their portfolio of drugs? medicines?
This the Huntington therapy that we're developing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We sure hope so, and that would help us get to those later phase trials, the phase 3 clinical trial, where we could deliver the potential therapy to a lot more people, and then maybe, you know, move forward into it being a drug in the future.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great.
By then, there might be an easier way to do it. We don't know, but right now, this is the best way that we can see where the growth factor can be made in a sustained and even manner,
mm-hmm.
a continual manner.
Very good.
Where the BDNF can be made.
We are very excited about all of this. It sounds like the most promising, the most hope for a cure or treatment for Huntington's. And it'll be interesting to follow the process.
Yeah, we've all done this together. That's the thing that's really amazing to me. There's this community. You can just really, you know, feel the love. It's really people working together to make a difference on this nasty disease and try to make a dent in it. That's why we do it.
How hard you've worked for so long to get to this point, and we're just thrilled.
Thank you.
Fruit of your labor.
And I wish you could be there with us on Thursday, but if you're listening, I'll know you're listening. So.
Yeah. If you can, yeah, if you can go to the stern.ca.gov site and get that agenda, you'll be able to listen live. I can't get to it right now. I can post it after the show. Judy Robertson. Hi, Judy. She's in the chat room. She says, can you review the phase 1, phase 2, and phase 3 trials again with Dr. Nolte? Each phase includes a drug. I don't know, Judy, is that a question or a comment?
So in this case, the stem cells are the potential drug, and mm-hmm. It would be the same. It's the same. We're planning that it would be the same type of administration and the same number of stem cells, the best tolerated dose. That's something else that we'll establish in the phase 1 trial. So the patients through phase 1, phase 2, and phase 3 will get the stem cells in the same way, implanted into the brain. And the drug I think that Judy might be thinking of is the doxycycline that they would take. And it's just a pill every day. Teenagers take it for acne. It's just a really mild antibiotic.
Uh-huh.
And while they're taking that, the BDNF would be getting made and pumped out in high levels from these mesenchymal stem cells.
Okay.
And so that allows us to kind of titer it or, you know, turn it on and off. It's called an inducible promoter, if you want to know the scientific term.
Oh, very interesting. So then how would you turn it off if you need it?
You just stop taking the pill. You don't take the pill the next day, and it's off. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we've shown that in rodents.
And
it goes on and off very specifically. Yeah, doxycycline, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, BDNF is brain-derived neurotrophic factor, and that can be produced in other ways. I mean,
that's a good point. So those levels will go up with exercise. And, you know, I should be heeding this advice, but after we exercise, it's shown that the levels of BDNF go up in the serum, in the circulating blood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not quite known how it gets made or where it gets made. Some people might know, but I haven't seen the paper yet. But it's very certain that it does get made with exercise, even just walking. So, you know, animals on a treadmill, on a round, like the hamster wheel, they'll make more of it.
Right.
And, you know, there's some evidence that you know, patients are doing better longer when they exercise, and so it's all part of that healthy lifestyle that we all hear about. And I spend like 20 hours a day sitting at my computer and not exercising. But you know, this is one way that I think people can really make an impact and just staying overall healthy and keeping those BDNF levels up without the therapy.
And no junk in the trunk.
Yeah, well, all right. We need a little insulation, right?
Yeah.
Good, we wouldn't want to be cold.
No. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Dr. Nolte.
Oh, thank
and
you.
And giving us an update. Did we forget anything?
I don't think so. Just thank you to anyone who's listening for inspiration, and you're all why we do it.
Very good. Well, I just want to thank you and your team, Dr. Vicki Wheelock as well, and all of her team, because everybody's working together on this. Hours and hours and hours, thousands of hours, I'm sure, hundreds of thousands of
well worth it.
Minutes.
Well worth it. We love
yeah.
you.
And, yeah, we love you, too, and we appreciate everything that you're doing for us. And I'd also like to thank deshalmar.org for putting together endhd.org, which is the website to go to donate to Dr. Jan Nolte's project. It goes directly to UC Davis Stem Cell Program. We have a face.org has new pages, Understanding and Brain. Please go there and check that out. It's really good stuff. I'm working on research for HD.org. I'm looking for research scientists just like Dr. Jan Nolte who want to get direct donations. No administrative fees will be taken. Your money will go directly to research scientists and clinics. So please send me a note. Just go to helpforhdinternational.org. Send me a note there, or researchforhd.org. Send me a note there. Get Help for HD episodes on iTunes, too. You go to iTunes and plug in Help for HD. All the shows are there. Upcoming shows, July 30. We have the HD View with Jody Goldstein. She's a genetic counselor. August 6th, we have the Ask Dr. Goodman show. August 13th, we have the HD View with Gabriel Hamilton. She's a clinical social worker. She's also my Dear Gabby writer on the HuntingtonsPost.org. August 27th, HD View with Andrea Zanko, genetic counselor. She's awesome. And this concludes our Help for HD News Channel update with Dr. Jan Nolte. Dr. Nolte, thank you so much again.
Thank you so much.
Love
thank
you.
Everyone.
And
thank
for
you.
Don't forget to contact me at Help HD International. Go to ucdavisstemcell.org to find out all what's happening at the Davis Stem Cell Program. And get the free app on the road, Help for HD, at Help HD International. And we have a face.org. Also, available on the app is the original mobile connection to information, education, and resources, all about JHD and HD. Everyone, thank you for tuning in. Good night. Jan, stay with us. We'll talk in the screening room for a minute. Have a good night, everyone. Take care. Sometimes it hurts instead.
sometimes it earns in the stay. You know how the time flies, only yesterday was the time. Summer haze bound by the surprise of our glory days. I hate to turn up out of the blue uninvited, but I couldn't stay away. I couldn't fight it. I had hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over. Never mind. Nothing compares, no worries or cares, regrets and mistakes, their memories made. Who would have known how bittersweet this would taste? Never mind, I'll find someone like you.
And we're back, and we have Dr. Nolte here, and it looks like Marissa Gutierrez is out there in the chat room, and I'd love to have her call in and say hi to Dr. Nolte if you can. The number
hi, Marissa.
Here is, the number here is 310-982-4227 and 877-497-4103. Marissa, Dr. Nolte would love to say hello to you. If you could call in, that'd be awesome. And just want to thank everybody for tuning in today, listening to the Health HD News Channel update with Dr. Nolte. We're just so thrilled that this is happening. It's been a long time in coming. Dr. Nolte's worked feverishly day and night to get to this point with her team, her wonderful team, and Dr. Vicki Willock, Terry Timken, the whole team at UC Davis, has been working feverishly to get to this point. So we just want to thank everyone. For doing all of this hard work to get to this point. Looks like we have our caller. Hold on, let me grab this call. Hello, hello. This is Melissa.
Hi, this is Marissa.
Marissa, hi. Say hi,
hi
to
Marissa.
Jan.
It's Jan. Hello. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. For organizing that wonderful walk. Oh, we're so excited.
Actually, this morning, I was talking to my mother, and we were planning our next walk already.
Oh, you're amazing. You took, what, a month off? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
So we are very excited to do the next one, and it's going to be bigger and better, so.
Looks like you had quite a deal this year. Just amazing, amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Oh, Marissa, you did a fantastic job on your first walk. And
I know. I had a lot of help. And it was amazing. It was an amazing feeling as well. So I'm very excited to do the next one.
And
everyone
to know that all that effort went to this project is just fabulous. We are so
proud
of it.
It paid off so much. So much, yeah.
There isn't anything more than I want than a cure.
I know.
Yeah, all of us, Marissa. We're all right there with you.
Yeah, ma'am.
So thank you, Dr. Nolte, for all your work.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for helping us do it. It's already, you know, due to the money that we had in our account, we were able to reserve the primates for the next round that we absolutely have to do. And it would have been delayed like another 6 months if I couldn't do that. So thank you so much.
Oh, good. It sounds good.
It's incredible. Yeah.
It's so great to hear your voice, Marissa. It's James.
Oh, hi, James. How are you?
All right, sweetie. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I'm glad you got my message, Marissa.
I just walked in and I was on Facebook and I was like, oh my God, let me hurry up and call.
Yeah. I was desperately trying to get in touch with you today.
Yes, but thank you, all of you guys. Thank you so much for everything you do, all of you.
Ah.
You are amazing.
We are a team, aren't we?
Yeah, quite a team.
I'm looking for the same thing, so.
Yeah.
Well, I think you need to be on our team, too, you know? I mean, we're all in this thing together, so.
Yeah, that is right.
Good.
That's Mary
well,
Robert.
I look forward to all the work you're going to be doing, Dr. Nosa.
Oh, yeah, we are ready. We are geared up and ready. So here we go. All right. Thank you, everyone, so much.
Okay,
it's really
everyone.
Great
we'll
to hear your voice.
Go ahead and close up the show, and I just want to thank you all again. Thank you, Dr. Nolta. Marissa, I'm so glad you called in. James, my producer, glad to have you back.
Yeah.
And
bye,
good night,
everyone.
Out there.
Bye.
Talk to you later. Have a great day. Talk to you Monday.